Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weederer.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mullen Haw Show. Adam Studzinski is our producer. Dan Weederer from the Chicago Tribune is still at Energy Stadium covering the post-game locker room after the Bears' 19-13 loss to the Houston Texans. Adam, it was a game that I think went a lot like people expected in terms of the Texans being elite on defense with the pass rush and the edge rushers. They took over the game, sacking Caleb Williams seven times. C.J. Stroud did just enough to show the special, and the Texans look like a team that's one of the best in the AFC. The Bears look like a team that forgot how to protect the passer, and the defense played really well in the second half, and the Bears now are 1-1 after losing 19-13.
Yeah, that's right, David, and definitely a rough day up front for the Bears. I believe I was just looking at the next-gen stats had them giving up 36 pressures, I believe, for this game, which is pretty unacceptable. So there's a lot to figure out up front. I think that's probably going to be the lead conversation throughout the week. The offensive line just has to be better, and they just have to be. They can't – they're getting beat on basic stunts up front. They look like they haven't played a lot together, and that's – hopefully that gets better with time, but right now it just looks – it looks pretty awful. They look like they can't communicate at all. You have even Darnell Wright, who's supposed to be their best lineman – right now getting beat really badly with the game on the line by Danielle Hunter for a sack on the Bears last drive. So a lot went wrong up front tonight, David, but we do know one thing. The defense is really good. I think we can safely say that the defense is going to keep them in a lot of games this year while the offense hopefully figures things out.
I think it requires a little bit of discipline, talking to myself as much as anybody, to remind myself that I said going in, this is probably the biggest challenge on the Bears' schedule, going into that environment against a team with that quarterback. It's probably one of the better teams in the AFC on the road early in the season before you've worked out some kinks with your quarterback and your offensive line. So I don't want to overreact. At the same time, I think that I found myself most frustrated at this, and this is what I just wrote at 670score.com in a column after the game. Mm-hmm. We're 3 years into the Ryan Poles regime, and if there was one thing that I think we all agreed on or thought we knew when he took over as a general manager was that somebody who played offensive tackle at Boston College and was an offensive lineman by trade and had a cup of coffee in the Bears training camp would – put most of the resources or get that part right. It's great to have a defense that clearly is top 10, could be top 5. I'll say top 10 for now. It's great to have a quarterback that is, you know, we all get carried away, present company included, generational talent, good as they come. But without your offensive line protecting him, he's not going to be able to reach that potential. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating to watch the Bears for the third season in a row, or how many seasons in a row, not have the ability to control the line of scrimmage offensively and protect the quarterback in the pocket.
Yeah, it's extremely frustrating. And you keep thinking to yourself, or I keep thinking to myself, they can't possibly get worse.
They keep getting worse.
And so I hope that, you know, look, next week, this is my hope. This has to be rock bottom for them. You know, giving up 7 sacks, 36 pressures. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson had 17 pressures between the two of them. So, look, this is back-to-back weeks. The Bears have played good defensive linemen in different ways. Interior against the Titans. And, hey, look, the Titans' defense looked pretty damn good against the Jets this week too. So that defense is for real. That we know the Texans defense is for real. So, you know, if there's something to take out of this, that's the, you know, maybe I'm hope casting a little bit, but look, the Colts defense is not as good next week as the Texans defense. And I think that's going to, like, look, if the offensive line looks like this against the Colts, then there's real, real problems. 'Cause I believe the Colts lost, DeForest Buckner in their game today, and I don't know, we don't know how significant that injury is, but if they face the Colts without Buckner and still look this bad, then that's going to be a huge problem. Right now, it's still a huge problem. Don't get me wrong. Like, it needs to be better, and I know they know it needs to be better. Like, this is an unacceptable performance, but tough opponent on the road, and they had the ball with a chance to go win the game.
They did. But Braxton Jones looked overmatched. I know it was Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. They're really two of the best. That's one of the best tandems in the NFL. Tevin Jenkins, I have to look at it again, but you know, Coleman Shelton wasn't any better noticeably. Maybe he was, but the right side was really problematic. You mentioned Darnell Wright. He had two false starts, I believe.
Yeah.
And Nate Davis looked like he did a lot of whiffing. And even on the touchdown, he didn't get to his block. And I just feel like you put Caleb Williams behind that line. He got sacked 7 times. You talked about how many pressures there were. And most of the conversation will be about what Caleb Williams isn't this week. I predict that. I mean, it's going to be, but there's the offensive line. But let's face it, when you go into a matchup where you're matching up against C.J. Stroud and you're being compared in national television audience and all the things, and Caleb Williams will come under scrutiny this week for not being what he was purported to be. And I would think that it's happening again. We're going to have another quarterback who I think has a higher ceiling than any previous quarterback they've had. But I'm going to wonder if he's going to be able to reach it because he's not going to have any time to throw. He learned the hard way tonight, and he learned some hard lessons. He had some bad passes. He's clearly not on the same page with his receivers, and he looked skittish at times. He started well. He got Collinsworth over his skis, and then he kind of regressed and started making some bad decisions and was not in rhythm again.
Yeah, I will say, to kind of play off what you're saying there, in the first half, I was actually pretty impressed by him. And I thought that I saw him look a lot more comfortable and seem a lot more decisive. He seemed to be figuring things out a little bit more. And then the second half, the pressure got to him and he started to lose himself a little bit more. And we saw some more of those inaccuracy issues. So, yeah, like I honestly, like the first half, I walked out of metaphorically walked out of the first half feeling pretty good about where he was as a player. So, you know, maybe part of this might just be the rookie roller coaster. You know, like we talked before the season, like we're going to have halves and quarters where it's going to be hard to watch. And, you know, he threw 2 picks in this game and neither of those were very good. Well, one was a fine decision with a subpar throw. The second one was just a bad decision.
Right.
So, you know, there was progress in this game, but he still didn't put a full complete game together to make you come out of it and feel better about the situation entirely.
He's the number one overall pick and he looked the part in preseason, and in 2 games he's been uneven at best. And I think when you look at what you're waiting for, is you're waiting for him to have the kind of moments, the kind of game that you can have an up on a roller coaster and then maybe be going down. And it's a high bar, but he did come in with a fair amount of hype. And I think we all can agree on that. So he did in the first half look pretty good, look pretty much in control. There were some times, some bad decisions. But second half, I think the wheels fell off a little bit and you could see him getting flustered. And I alluded to it in what I wrote, but at the end of the game, when DJ Moore, that last pass, it looked like he was frustrated. And he alluded to it in his post-game comments about not being on the same page. I know Keenan Allen didn't play. Maybe that was part of the communication issues, but it was clear that there weren't a lot of things in sync with the receiving corps and Caleb Williams.
No, yeah, they definitely were not on the same page a lot. Like even on the Bears' last offensive play of the game, the fourth down where Caleb looked like he wanted to throw a comeback route to Rome Odunze, who kept running the go route. So even just something small like that, yeah, there were definitely several instances where it didn't look like, whether it was DJ Moore or Odunze or who, you know, you name them, just was not on the same page. So that's more that they're going to have to I say more like DJ Moore, right? It's more that they're going to have to get worked out. Yeah, DJ was noticeably frustrated, and that's something we haven't seen a lot from him. So I'm curious about what he's going to have to say when you guys ask him in the morning on the Molly and Haw show. What he like? I'm sure he'll be his normal self about it, but he was definitely frustrated, and it's not something. And you know, if anything, that I think that shows how they have a higher bar for themselves. Like they expected to win this kind of game. And they're coming out of it with a frustrating offensive performance and a loss. And so I think it's understandable that he is noticeably frustrated.
I also think in two games, the Bears have been unable to run the football effectively. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. The quarterback doesn't have time to set and throw. That's a problem. Offensively, there are things that drive you crazy, as I tweeted and wrote and we'll talk about. I mean, Gerald Everett, I'm not quite sure why he isn't early on is – having plays designed and run for him. I don't get it. I don't know why we finally saw Cole Kmet surface at one point, but I just don't understand in two games. Want to be fair, want to be patient, but this offense looks like it's somewhat lost, and it begins up front, but it doesn't stop there. Defensively, you know, secondary found out how hard it is to defend one of the top trios in football. I mean, Nico Collins, unbelievable physicality and athleticism. And, you know, Stephon Diggs had a moment. Tank Dell is shifty. And CJ Stroud is special. And when he's on the run, he's even better. So you look at what they were – it's a good challenge for them. It's good to having, you know, 19 points. That's a winning effort for a defense playing against a top-tier quarterback like that, an elite quarterback. So I think defensively you had some roller coaster moments, but I think overall you've got to feel like you put yourself in a position after some second-half adjustments to win that game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I don't have a lot of issues with what the defense did tonight. I mean, you know, they, like you said, there were a few moments that the Texans just got the best of them. You know, the Nico Collins touchdown, you know, I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Adam Johns pointed out on Twitter that, you know, three of the Bears' best defensive linemen weren't on the field on that Nico Collins play. It was second and 24. And I think it's okay on second and 24 to be like, okay, we don't need our A-plus guys out there on this play. So you got to make a play on the in the secondary, I think. But that's a completely, you know, that's a side note. But yeah, overall, I mean, the defense played well enough to win. If you give up less than 20 points, excuse me, in the NFL in 2024, that's a winning effort on defense. Like just straight up. Yeah. So this is two games in a row. The defense has shown that, you know, they've had a few rough moments, but they've been able to stick with it and make enough plays that they played well enough to win.
We'll get into this more this week, I think, and certainly be an issue around the league, but and this is like a small point about time. When did kickers get so good? When did kickers in the National Football League get to the point where 50-yarders were a chip shot? It's kind of like the new 35. And all of a sudden, you got guys on both sides just, oh, yeah, we'll kick from there. It's changed the way fourth downs are approached. It's changed scoring in the league. The Commanders today, they kicked 7 field goals, and they won a game, 21-18. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible what's going on in the kicking explosion. So even Robbie Gould has a job. Goodness sakes, they hired old kickers to talk on the Marquee Sports Network to tell us about what he knows about football. So that was a thing. And so 19-13, a respectable loss, because I guess that maybe it wasn't a blowout. Like it started early, Adam. I thought that if they would have gone down, you know, early on, there was that drive maybe early on or third drive, maybe the first quarter or second quarter or the fourth drive. I thought it could get away from in a hurry.
Yeah. There was definitely a point where after the Texans had taken I believe they got up, you know, 13-3. There was definitely a point that it felt like it could slip away. So, and you know, look, that's where we have to still give credit to them. Like they held on. And they kept themselves in the game. Defense got a few stops. And yeah, to your point about the kicking, you know, look, there was even in this game where the Texans elected to kick a field goal on 4th and 1, and you know those 3 points ended up being, you know, a big difference where the Bears are having to score a touchdown at the end of the game instead of a field goal. So every point mattered. But, you know, even something like that where, hey, it's 4th and 1, we'll just kick a 56-yard field goal, no problem. So, yeah, it's the kicking in the NFL has gotten in the last year or two like field goal kicking, especially. Like, you even have a guy like Cairo Santos, who until the last couple of years has not been known for having a strong leg, but he's kicking 50 yarders with no issue. So it's something to keep an eye on.
It's like it's the 80s again. And, you know, yeah. Nobody's going for it on fourth down. They're just kicking field goals. All right, so we're going to wrap it up because we got a lot more to do tomorrow, a lot more to get to bed to tonight. Morning show, 5:30 to 10 on the Molly Haw Show. But defensively, good enough to win, 310 total yards, I believe, 19 points. Mm-hmm. You should be able to feel good about that defensively. Offensively, offensive line to me is in shambles. They need to do better, raise the bar. Caleb Williams needs to be better. I didn't expect to see skittish Caleb Williams through two games. He's been uneven, and I expected more out of him. There's understandable reasons for why he's been inconsistent and why he's been a little bit more unsteady, but they need to get to the bottom of that. And Shane Waldron's still waiting for his signature to be put on this this offense. So a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to get to this week. Anything else, Adam, you want to add before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. Let's go to sleep and get back at it in the morning, David.
Dan will be traveling back from Houston. We'll be talking to you this week. The Bears are 1-1 after losing 19-13 to the Houston Texans. A solid, respectable effort, but offensively, they've got a long way to go. For Adam Studzinski and Dan Weeder, I'm David Haw. Thank you for listening to the Takes North podcast. We'll talk to you this week.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.